You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kevin Dietenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy show today.
Yes.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin joining us after the 9:30 news. There is a new proposal to have a nonpartisan commission draw maps.
That sounds like something that should be done.
What a wacky idea.
Right.
That just says cray-cray. So we'll talk to Deb Cronmiller about this proposal that would bring in nonpartisan people to draw up our voting maps.
I mean, that just sounds almost logical.
There seems to be logic involved with that. Yes. So that's after 9:30. Hour number two, our friend, colleague, host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on weekends here across Civic Media. Dr. Kristen Lierley is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about Dr. Oz. It was either last week or the week before.
Yeah.
Said that America is under-babied. We just don't have enough babies. We need more babies. So we're going to talk to Dr. Lierley about what would actually perhaps encourage families to have more children.
Yes, absolutely.
I believe there's an economic component in there.
Where Dr. Oz, who is, once again, for whatever you think about him, he is a doctor, says we are under-babied.
It's not a word, but
Dr. Lierley can put the real problem into perspective with, once again, nuanced, logical, and medical and professional language.
Factual things.
I actually would say, under babied. Like, translate that, Dr. Lierley. What does that mean for the layman? I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. Under babied.
You don't speak that medical, medical terminology like that. Speaking of medical terminology, there is another measure that has been proposed. Here in Wisconsin, they want to change the definition of abortion, essentially.
Shocking.
This has to do with women who have problems in their pregnancy at some point in their pregnancy, and they may need to terminate the pregnancy.
Yeah, of course.
So there is a new measure out. They want to change words because they don't want the word abortion used, even though the medical definition of, say, a spontaneous miscarriage is abortion.
It's spontaneous abortion.
It's a spontaneous abortion. That is the medical definition.
You can't get away from it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So Dr. Lierley will be joining us to talk about that in hour number two. Also, last half an hour of the show, we will lighten it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Audio sorbet. Audio sorbet. We're going to be talking about movies.
Movies, yes. So movies. We're going to be talking about, so Calvin, I'll give you a brief overview. Calvin brought up a movie that is being made off of a popular board, very popular board. I would say one of the most popular, actually. And it's just that idea of, why do they make movies about certain things? So what is a movie that they made where you said, why did they do this? Who asked for this? And more importantly, when it bombs, you sit there and go, I don't know why you even did it in the first place.
Yeah, why, this movie should never have been made.
I have so many examples.
Is our audio sorbet coming up around 10:30. And then we'll end the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Yeah. Bear with me now.
Yep.
That is the addition coming up at the very end of the show.
And if you have any movies that you want to suggest and you can't stick around for the show, you can always send it to us via text. You can email it in, janesays@civicmedia.us. Throw it in the text line right now. We'll read it later. But yeah, we want to know your thoughts. Even if you can't be around, tell us.
Yeah, let us know now. 855-752-4842. Wanted to start off with talking about the government shutdown. We're in what, day 20, 21?
Day 21.
Day 21. And the big sticking point is the Democrats say the Republicans need to fund.
Oh, the, day 22.
Day 22. They need to fund the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act.
Correct.
If they do not fund these subsidies, people's monthlies are going to skyrocket.
Yes. If you want
your premiums are going to jump.
Yes. If you want any proof about that, go back to our discussion last week with Will Westmoreland. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri, and he talks about not only him being on it, but farmers are the biggest user of the ACA in the country. And he talks about what his premium is going to look like if these subsidies, on top of another subsidy that's not going to be renewed either, gets cut. That subsidy, it's like a 28% subsidy for farmers specifically.
Right.
Once all that's done, it's going to be like a 60 to 70% increase for him. And if you go back and listen, civicmedia.us/shows, it's very clear.
It's a great conversation.
This is something that is needed.
Yes.
Period.
Yes, it is. And the Republicans say, of course, no, just sign off on this deal.
Yeah.
Sign off on this measure, and then we'll talk about it later.
We'll get to it.
We'll get it in 2 weeks.
I have a things to do list, Jane.
We'll get around to it. Yeah. It's not important.
Yeah.
You know, we got a ballroom to build.
And give more money to Argentina.
The East Wing to destroy. Ron Johnson, Wisconsin senior senator, appearing on some cable channel, because that's what he does now. He's certainly never here. He has an opinion about people seeing their premiums jump. Rojo says, you don't have to worry about that. Calvin, play that clip from Ron Johnson, please.
You know, let's bring free market competition back into the healthcare.
We'll get to that one.
This is going to be any kind of gut-wrenching problem if these enhanced subsidies just go away. We'll probably have to weather the lies told by the Democrats. But again, we're happy to work with Democrats and fix the broken Obamacare.
Play it again, Calvin, please.
I don't think this is going to be any kind of gut-wrenching problem if these enhanced subsidies just go away.
Not a problem. That's all we need. It's just not a... So your premiums double, triple, meh. Ron's only worth, what, $66 million?
Oh, I think that's a low ball.
Is that low
ball? I'm
going
to look it up here. But that's just, once again, we hear this all the time, these rich, powerful people talking about how things just aren't a big deal. Because, yeah, to Ron Johnson, a $2,000 a month payment for his health insurance, if he had to do it on his own, he could afford that. That's not a problem for
sure,
him.
Sure.
But your lack of a problem doesn't translate to everybody. There's a lot of people where their premiums are going to be, okay, well, now I can't pay for groceries. I can't pay for rent. I can't pay for I could never pay for daycare because daycare is too expensive.
Well, and what I think they're going to do, what folks are going to have to do, is they're going to have to make a choice about what they're going to spend their money on.
Yes.
And most likely, they're going to opt for rent and food.
Yes. Yes.
Over paying a massive hike in their premiums.
And
the ACA, by the way, is not perfect by a long shot.
It's not. It was a compromise because, and I'm not going to get into this very deeply, but in a time when so much more could have been done when they were trying to pass health care, everyone got scared of their own shadows. But we have what we have, and it's helped millions of people. And if you are one of those people on the ACA, we've talked to you before about this. Tell us again, when you think about the premiums going up, what are the choices you're going to have to make?
What is that going to mean for you?
What is that going to mean for you, for your family, for your living situation? I mean, we want to know because Ron Johnson said it's not a big deal.
Not a gut punch.
It's not gut punch. Just don't.
Another couple $100 a month.
Hey, if you just go get a third job, maybe you'll be okay. But that's on you. You be a good American. Don't see roadblocks. See the path forward.
Well, and Ron has kind of a great answer.
Oh, what's that?
For how to fix our healthcare problems.
Hit me with it.
Let's play that second clip from Wisconsin senior senator Ron Johnson, please.
You know, let's bring free market competition back into the healthcare industry. Let's bring back way more consumer choice. You know, Rick Scott, an expert in healthcare, right? He's working with people like myself, leadership, the White House. But, let's design the Republican plan. You know, we completely blew it.
Did you say Rick Scott?
All right. Let's just go ahead here, and I'm going to type in. There we go. Perfect. Rick Scott.
Rick Scott, by the way, in case you missed this, before he became a U.S. senator, Rick Scott was running a hospital in Florida, a federal Medicare and Medicaid fraud investigation that resulted in a $1.7 billion fine against the healthcare company that Rick Scott was running.
Yeah.
That is the biggest fine in history for that kind of group.
And he didn't go to jail.
He didn't.
And he, in fact, if anything, he did the most American thing for rich people. He stepped down. They paid the fine. He became governor of Florida, and now he's senator in Florida.
Oh, he got a big payout on the way out the door,
too. Oh, he got a big
payout,
too. So, yeah, Rick Scott might not be the best choice. It's definitely the best choice in the Trump administration. He ticks all of the boxes to run something. But also, let's just address a fallacy in Mr. Johnson's statement here. By the way, can we stop calling him the senior senator? Because it feels like that's a respect I don't want to give him. Can we just call him the senator who's been around longer,
sure.
Ron Johnson? Cool. Thank you.
I have no problem with that.
The ACA has done almost nothing to threaten the free market of medical insurance. The ACA is not medical insurance. It is simply access to other companies that sell medical insurance. Those companies are free and flourishing. Those companies are free to not be a part of the ACA, as they have done. Doctors don't have to be a part of the ACA. The ACA does not strangle free market competition at all. So if anything, you're telling us you want more insurance companies? Is this like yesterday when we're talking about beef production? Rollins says we need more cattle ranchers. We need more beef producers. So we need more insurance. ACA does nothing to harm free market medical insurance access, period. It just narrows the scope. And also, the government helps people afford it a little bit.
Is that their job?
No!
In 2014, back to Rick Scott, when he was running this company in Florida that fined almost $1 billion. In 2014, the whistleblower who helped the federal government investigate Columbia described a company that ran two sets of books. And he said he had, quote, no doubt in my mind that Rick Scott was the leader of a criminal enterprise, unquote.
Yeah.
Huh. Again, he resigned under pressure.
Yeah.
He cited the incrimination. I don't have to answer because I might incriminate myself.
Fifth Amendment.
He claimed that like over 100 times during the trial about this. And then again, he walked away with a huge payout. Huge payout. Even though this fraud that was perpetrated hurt actual people.
Yes.
And it hurt taxpayers. It hurt seniors.
And that's just another point of this whole argument about waste, fraud, and abuse. When we talk about the fraud of Medicaid and Medicare, there are individuals who can do it. That's absolutely true. People can fraud the system as individuals. But the lion's share, the biggest money is always coming from these companies,
yes,
who are defrauding the country out of billions of dollars,
yes,
thus putting people in harm's way. So again, we're not focusing our attention correctly, and putting Rick Scott in charge of anything having to do with health insurance is completely on brand of stupid for Ron Johnson to say, but he always thinks everything is fine. And if you're poor, it doesn't matter if you're poor, you'll be fine, because he's not poor, so it's fine.
Everything is good.
Everything is good, everybody.
Everything's good in Rojo's world, so it should all be good in ours. When we return, we're going to talk about SNAP benefits. How long are they going to last?
Here in Wisconsin, not long.
Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Just don't know what else to do about it. James. James.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. The Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about the government shutdown. Now in day 22, Republicans refusing to negotiate. They say there's nothing to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is good. Mike Johnson this morning talking about how much they're saving people in their premiums and improving access to health care. I'm not sure what planet he's on. We played a clip from Wisconsin's own Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
Saying this, you know, so people's premiums for the ACA going to jump. That's no gut punch. It's
it's
going to be fine. Greg suggested that we not call him our senior senator anymore.
No. I feel like that denotes a level of respect I should give him, and I don't want to give him that because he says things like this.
Christopher from Beaver Dam, listening on WISS, has a suggestion.
Yeah?
He said, you keep saying senior senator, try senile senator.
That's good. I don't even want to call him. I mean, I get that. I like it. It's good wordplay. But calling
nice
him
alliteration.
Yes, very much so. Calling him senile though almost seems like an excuse because, like, when your grandparent gets up there in age, you're like, they're just saying some things. This is a senator in the U.S. government who is lying consistently.
Yeah.
But we'll put that on the list.
He's not senile.
He's not senile, but I thank Christopher for the suggestion.
Yeah, Christopher, you're onto something.
Yes.
You're onto something. Yeah. By the way, I do think that there are cracks starting to show. 11 House Republicans signed onto a letter yesterday calling for Speaker Johnson to make a deal on the subsidies for the ACA, saying their districts are going to suffer without them. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And there are Republicans who realize that a lot of their constituents use the Affordable Care Act, including farmers.
A lot of farmers. And I'm going to put that article in the show notes. And when you read that article, I want you to think about what they're discussing. They are discussing in closed door meetings the viability and the acceptance and how it will make them look as far as doing the things they're doing. And if I'm in the room, I would just say, why not then just fund the ACA? Just do it. It's a win. You've given the billionaires so much.
No kidding. Give us some crumbs.
To give the people the crumbs that you can't see will mean so much to them. And I'm talking about, like, from a political strategy standpoint.
Absolutely.
You want to be able to go back to your district and say, we saved the ACA.
Look what I did for you.
You might not like Obamacare. That's fine. But we saved it for the people who use, including our farmers. Instead, they're strategizing in a room and losing the battle, a battle they knew they were going to lose. They knew this was going to happen.
But it's interesting because I've noticed how the algorithms are changing on my Twitter feed.
Yeah.
And yesterday, there's two things you can have. You can have the people you follow, and then there's the for you.
Yeah.
And my timeline was full of nothing but Republicans calling it the Schumer shutdown and the Democratic shutdown and all that stuff. So they're pushing that narrative really hard.
But if you also look at the history of the modern history of shutdowns from back to just even Barack Obama, the Republicans always get kicked in the teeth on this because they're usually the ones in charge when it happens, whether they've controlled the presidency or just the Senate and the Congress. When they're in charge and it shuts down, they always, I mean, right now, this whole Schumer shutdown, it's sort of the thing where you're like, are you okay? The Schumer, you realize he's not the guy. He can't do anything. You're in charge.
There is a soundbite of our current president of the United States.
Oh, yes, there is.
From a number of years ago, talking about whose responsibility it is.
From 2013.
In the case of a government shutdown.
Yeah.
And you know what he said?
What did he say?
He said it's the president's fault.
And he should be fired. He should be fired. And this is, and if we're going by that measure, I mean, this is the first, third shutdown under Donald Trump in both of his terms. Mm. Third one. And we're not even a year in.
No.
And we're marching towards the longest shutdown in U.S. history, which was held by, wait for it, Donald Trump.
That's right.
So, again, MAGA supporters, tell me how this makes sense. Tell me how this helps us win. Tell me how this is 12D chess that I just don't understand when he's destroying the White House, giving money away to Argentina, and our current Congress is doing nothing to open the government up, fund the people who need health care, and just sit there and say, well, it's not my fault.
Well, and this whole excuse that Mike Johnson has about, well, of course I sent the House members home. There's nothing that we can do. The government is shut down. Senators are meeting.
Yeah.
The Senate is still in session.
Tommy Baldwin's in the office.
In Washington. Yeah. There is plenty that they could do.
Yes.
And the whole thing about not seating this newly elected Democrat from Arizona After the shutdown.
Yeah.
And these are all excuses to prevent the release of the Epstein files. That is absolutely what that's about.
Because she could have been sworn in before the shutdown, because she was elected before the shutdown happened.
Well, and Johnson has said, well, why aren't you working with your constituents? She doesn't have an office. She doesn't have a budget.
Did you see the video?
She doesn't have any of the things because she hasn't been sworn in yet.
She doesn't have a government email. There's a great video of her in her office. Here's a pile of laptops. Can't sign in. Here's a computer. Don't have an email. Can't make calls because I don't have the ability to do the things. Yeah, I mean, and every excuse he's given has been countered by the media with, well, that's not true at all. And here's an example of you doing the thing you say you can't do. Mike Johnson, I mean, are you the Speaker of the House or are you just the defender of the king? I mean,
that.
There it is.
That.
You're not speaking in the House of the people. You are just defending the guy in charge.
Yeah, it's the second.
There
thing.
It is.
We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Deb Cronmiller from the League of Wisconsin League of Women Voters Wisconsin will be joining us. There's a suggestion on having nonpartisans draw maps.
Craziness.
What a nutty idea.
What does Ron Johnson think?
That's all on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by our next guest, the Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Deb Cronmiller, is here. Good morning, Deb. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's talk about, there is a proposal for an independent commission to draw maps in Wisconsin. What a crazy whacked out idea, Deb.
It's a great idea. And we've been working really hard for over 2 years to put this proposal together.
Well, let's hear more about this.
Okay. Well, there's an ad hoc working group of the League of Women Voters, and it contains many of our advocates who've been in the Fair Map space for years and years and years. And the idea, after we got Fair Map signed by the governor in February of 2024, we pivoted. You know, these are good for now, but we knew that coming in 2030, another census cycle would begin. And if nothing changed between now and 2030, whoever had power in the legislature would be drawing maps again.
Right.
And we know whoever has power in the legislature is going to draw maps that favor them. So we pivoted to, let's figure out how do we get a fair map drawing process in Wisconsin that is independent of that political influence. And so we researched, we talked to folks in all the states that have independent redistricting commissions. We talked to all the think tanks that do the research on this. And we put together a proposed piece of legislation that gives Wisconsin what it needs to create an independent redistricting commission. So it is not somebody else's model. It's not like Michigan. It's not like California. For years we've been talking about, we need something more like Iowa. Well, Iowa is still a partisan process and we don't need that.
Right.
We needed something that was cleanly independent. And, so last Thursday, actually at the Capitol, we held a little rally. And I always love to be at the Capitol rallying. But the purpose of the rally was to announce to the legislature that we have finished our proposed draft and that we are going to deliver it to all of you. And we did just that. And every legislator now has a copy of our proposal. The LRB now has a copy of our proposal, and hopefully it will, without many changes, it will become a bill, and then we can really start moving it along.
Can you tell us, Deb, what states do already have independent redistricting commissions? I'm curious.
Yeah, Michigan, Colorado, Arizona, and California. And there are others that have hybrids, if you will, where the legislatures and the and independent committees work on things. But those are the ones that have truly independent commissions that have the authority to enact the maps that they draw. That is the second phase of our initiative, because in Wisconsin, our constitution actually gives the legislature the power to enact our district maps. And so this is a two-phase project. One is to get the legislation right now that will give us an independent commission that will be in place for 2030. And then secondly, we will work on amending the constitution to give this commission the power to enact the maps.
We're talking about a proposal to form an independent commission to draw up fair maps in Wisconsin. Our guest here on Matt and Air on Air is Deb Cronmiller. She's the executive director of the League of Women Voters. In those states that you referenced, Deb, that already have this type of independent commission, have there been a lot of screeches that this is wrong and this, you know, we're being robbed? And it seems like it's working pretty well for those states that already have this in place.
It is. In Michigan, the state that most recently has enacted a commission, in their first cycle of map drawing, they had some, what I'll call, little glitches. All have been repaired. And that's what's so wonderful about having all these experts at our access. You know, you can see what potholes there might be and how we can get them filled. And they're really, you know, we worked with folks at the at Brennan Center and Pew and different organizations. And what we learned was that there's not a cookie cutter for how to do this, because every state is different.
Sure.
You know, we're suggesting a commission with 15 active commissioners and 3 reserve commissioners in case somebody would drop off. We're also suggesting that the commissioners would be in place for the whole 10 years between the census cycles. And so what's happening, for instance, in California, where they're taking a question to the people to whether or not they should enact a new commission to redraw maps at this moment and this time, we're going to make that impossible. So it would be the same commission, the same people. So there'd be no motivation to draw a different set of maps. Mm-hmm. They've already presented the best set of maps for Wisconsin and gotten those enacted. So we tried very hard to be critical thinkers about what could happen, what could potentially, you know, be a glitch. And in this 18-page proposed legislation, there's a lot of detail. And we talk about how the commission will be administered by the state at the Department of Administration, that it will get a budget, that it will avail themselves of experts, not only in map drawing software and testing software, but what we want at the end of the day are maps that have been contributed to by communities across the state. You know, when we had the People's Maps Commission before the, you know, during the time when the Clark case was going, that commission was unpaid, did not have the experts it actually needed. Came up with a pretty darn good map, actually, but it could have been better. And we know that. And so we didn't want to just repeat a process that had some stumbling blocks in it and really be thoughtful about how to bring together, you know, 15 people and 3 reserve commissioners to ensure that the maps represent the communities across the state, that they would keep together communities that need to stay together, communities of interest, and that they would, you know, meet all the constitutional requirements of what our district maps need to be.
What a wacky idea to actually look down the road at potential problems and potential stumbling blocks and, you know, like consequences of that's just so crazy.
Who does that? We saw, you know, with the Clark case, we saw that the you know, because the maps, you know, were not contiguous, they were declared unconstitutional. Yep. Yep. So we need to make sure that every single constitutional requirement, plus, you know, we want to undo what happened in 2011 when our map process got flipped upside down.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, for decades, municipalities, wards, districts, you know, precincts, you know, they worked first, and then the larger cities, then the counties, and then the state. And that process is sensical because that makes sure that the locality who is, you know, where the people are, yep, that are going to vote,
yep,
they're represented. Their voices are being held together. When the state flipped it on its head, that the state was going to draw its, as we know, very gerrymandered maps, and you municipalities, you just have to conform now. You have to figure out, mm-hmm, your districts that will work in our map drawing process. And we want to flip that back. Because it really is sensical that at the smallest unit of government is where we would start, because the voices of the people are at the smallest unit of government, not at the state level.
I worked for the mayor of Racine back in 2009 into the redistricting, and our city administrator was in charge of giving his input, feedback. And I remember him saying to me one day, he goes, it doesn't matter what I say. They're not going to do this at all, because they knew already, because they were talking about it, that these maps were going to be gerrymandered into something that is almost comically bad, but it was really, really affected people's lives. A question I have for you, Deb, is, this has really come out of the wake of the Fair Maps fight that happened here in Wisconsin. But I mean, the story of it all. But how long have people been talking about getting an independent commission in Wisconsin? Is it something that did come out of the fight, or has there been conversations even before that, you know, 5-10 years ago, or even going back further, and just wasn't a thing that seemed feasible, especially in that 10-12 year process where it just seemed like the maps were going to be like this forever?
I think there have probably been discussions for 50 plus years. Mm-hmm. You know, going back to 1971, that was the last time that our legislature and our governor actually agreed on maps. All the other maps have been decided in the courts, because they couldn't come to a consensus. There was so much partisanship, so much political, you know, headbutting. And so I think there have been conversations. We have had legislation introduced that would give us different models for a number of cycles. Mm-hmm. No floor hearings,
right.
No real consideration of it. At our rally, Jeff Smith, who's been in this fight for a long time, you know, he indicated that, you know, it's really hard to move the needle when you have such political opposition to doing what's right for, mm-hmm, the people. And, you know, we are going to try to the best of our ability to make sure that this isn't a political sided argument. You know, when we hit the floor with this discussion, this public hearing, there will be strong Republicans and strong Democrats who are supporting this legislation for the good of Wisconsin.
And I think it's really important, Deb, that when we very first started our discussion this morning, you pointed out that both Democrats and Republicans do naughty gerrymandering. It's not just one side. Both sides have done this. Naughty, naughty. I'm just saying.
In Wisconsin, you know, we've had the Republican gerrymander. But if just look to our south border, Illinois has one of the most extreme Democratic gerrymanders in this nation.
And we don't want that either.
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
We want fair.
Yeah.
You need fair maps.
And when we have fair maps, the very topics that and policy that people want will actually come through the legislature. You know, we've been waiting for years, for decades, for, you know, background checks, for energy policies, you know, for public health, you know, yeah, that so many really things. Meets the needs. And we're not getting those things. So now's the time. We need fair maps.
We're to continue our conversation with Deb Cronmiller, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the globe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Nader on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder to subscribe to our new daily email newsletter. Civic Media Today has great content from all over the state. There's little snippets from all of the shows. Yeah. So if you missed something, it gives you a little taste, and then you can go look for more. Yep. It's super easy. Just sign up at civicmediatoday.substack.com.
Very simple. And we're, as I said, we're talking to Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. And one of the things you also wanted to talk to us today was about Unite and Rise 8.5, a campaign to defend democracy. Do you want to talk more about that and what you seek to do in this event?
Sure. Back in April, the National League of Women Voters actually declared that we are in a constitutional crisis. Mm. We have three branches of government that are all failing the people of the United States. And the response of the League was to create a campaign that would help mobilize 8.5 million people. And that number is significant because that represents 3.5% of the electorate.
Yep.
And what we've learned from think tanks like Pew and, you know, different organizational think tanks, that when you can get 3.5% of the population, the electorate, behind something, you will move the needle. And we are behind getting a government that works for the people, not an authoritarian regime. We want a judiciary that actually makes decisions based on law and constitution. We need a legislature that holds, or Congress that holds, both the executive branch and the judiciary accountable to the constitutional oath that every one of those folks have taken.
They took it to the Constitution, by the way. Their oath is to the Constitution, not the president.
And also the whole the whole design of the Constitution in this country was based on a really good idea, checks and balances. We really knocked it out of the park, checks and balances, for a long time. And in 9 months, in 9-10 months, we have reversed it into a place where we are on the same par with some other countries out there. But how do people become involved in this Unite and Rise 8.5?
Correct. Well, there's lots of ways.
Yeah.
You know, we were sponsor of the No Kings rally. Mm-hmm. So you can go march, and 8 million people did across the United States. You know, we have commitment forms that just indicate, and individuals saying out loud that I am going to participate in this resistance. I am not going to be silent. And that's something you can do. You can do simple things. Yeah. You can write a letter to the editor and voice your opposition to what might be happening in your community, your state, in the nation. You can call your legislators and say, do your job. We think you can even reach out, you know, via letter to judges across the nation, asking them to do the same. We're in a critical time, Greg, as you just mentioned, and we have to do something. We can't just watch it happen to us. We have to resist it actively.
And I think, unfortunately, there is, at least for the side that wants to see authoritarianism in this country, there is the hope that people are just going to get exhausted and they're going to give up. That is kind of the goal, is to just keep up the pressure and keep wearing people down. And they're just going to eventually go, I can't take it anymore. Yeah. I'm not going to do anything. There's nothing we can do. There are things that we can do.
Absolutely.
Don't let anybody tell you the otherwise.
And I think the momentum to do something is going in the right direction. You know, the first No Kings rallies were well populated across the nation, but this last weekend, we surpassed that in droves. So more people are watching, they're engaging. And there are, of course, some people who just don't feel comfortable in those settings for a lot of good reasons.
Sure.
And but we've got to give them something else to do that's meaningful and important. And on our website at the State League, we have a toolkit, if you will, that has ways that you can participate that are more behind the scenes, subtle, but will have impact. And then there are ways, you know, if you write a letter to the editor, you're putting your name in front of your whole community.
Right.
Some people are comfortable doing that. Some people are not.
Sure.
And we recognize that. And there's got to be ways for every person to be able to contribute.
We will include links in our show notes to the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. And again, you've got a great toolkit there.
Oh, yeah.
Again, if it and I think you make a good point, Deb. Not everybody wants to get out there. Not everybody wants to have their face out there. There are lots of things you can do behind the scenes and still get your voice heard and still be part of this very important process.
Like going to myvote.wi.gov. You can put in your information and it'll give you all of your representatives from the president down to the dog catcher. And you can write them a letter, give them a call, visit them, be respectful.
Be respectful.
But tell them what you expect from your leaders. If it's a leader who you like, tell them they're doing a good job. They need to hear that too. But if it's someone that needs to do their job, tell them. Myvote.wi.gov.
And check out the league. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, I was just going to say, also, when you're on My Vote, make sure you're registered.
Yes.
Check your status.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, the WEC does four-year maintenance. They do things, you know, it's not a sure thing. Check it.
Yeah. Yeah. Make
and
sure.
And then you can also track ballots. You can request ballots. There's, you know, a lot of people sat out in November of 2024. We may need to make sure that no one sits out going forward.
Deb Cronmiller is the executive director of the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. Always appreciate your time, Deb. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Stay tuned. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.